Hello there, guys. Welcome to Coffee Talk with Rob and Greg, episode number 40. My name is Rob, and I'm joined by...
Hi, my name is Greg, the other person that talks a lot. And today we're welcomed by the wonderful James Hutchison. And James is an interesting guy because would you call yourself a serial entrepreneur, maybe?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think I am probably married to a serial entrepreneur, and it's rubbed off a bit. Certainly I have lots of ideas, and that tends to be what it is, that I have an idea and I think that I have a set of skills, not to sound too much like Liam Neeson, that means that I can then take those ideas and turn them into things probably easier than other people can.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah. And I don't know about Rob and I, but I'm an ideas guy. I don't know about Rob. Would you say you are?
Yeah, I have lots of ideas, but they're not necessarily all good ideas. You know,
may not either.
But I have ideas nonetheless that may or may end up becoming things. You know, it's yeah. The main reason I'm really interested to get James on is because I've known him for probably almost 3 years now. It must be
probably about 3 years. Yeah,
and I've seen a big change in James as a person. Like. He has gone through an incredible transformation. He's lost flipping loads of weight. So I kind of wanted to get him on to talk about, you know, his journey and how he's gone and done that. And also, you know, the different things that's opened up to you, because obviously that's brought you new opportunities, like with new business ideas and things like that. And in terms of your confidence as well. So yeah, just tell the audience a little bit more about that and your backstory.
So I'm going to do a very, very quick, very backstory and then move forward again. So my name's James. I am 44 years old. I am from Glasgow, and I've probably spent the last 14 years living either outside of Glasgow or down in England. Currently live in Carlisle because it's as close as I can get to Scotland without actually having to live in Scotland. I'm not banned at anything. I just don't necessarily want to live there at the moment. That's kind of where I am. I have run my own business, or our business, with my wife Carla, pretty much since we started dating. I think we set up our first business together about 2 months after we started dating, and I am now thoroughly unemployable. There is no opportunity for anyone to be able to tell me what to do. It's just not a thing. So the journey that Rob's alluding to relates to me losing a load of weight. I lost just over 8 stone since lockdown. I bust my ankle. I have a thing called plantar fasciitis, which is a swelling of the muscle in the bottom of the ankle, which flared up just as lockdown came in. Probably helped by me deciding I wanted to do 3 10K walks in a row, like 3 days in a row. I've been kind of semi off my feet since then. So I've probably put on about 0.5 stone, but nothing of note, nothing that I can't drop again. So I've lost around about 8 stone. So I started off at 22 stone, I'm now down around about 14. Had you asked me when I was 22 stone if I was quite happy, then I'd have been like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm healthy enough and I'm fit enough and it's not causing me any problems. And had you like actually looked a bit more deeply into that, I was just completely deluded and lying to myself, and I hated all sorts. You know how they're saying you can't polish a turd?
Yeah.
So I was the turd. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where I was inside my own head. Right. So the thing that caused I always say that all change needs 3 things. It needs a catalyst, it needs a vehicle, and it needs a goal. And those are the things that create a change. If you don't have any of those things, if you don't have a vehicle, then what you have is a dream. If you don't have a goal, then what you have is you have a dream. You know, it's that kind of, you know, you need those 3 things to kind of be aligned to get something done. So the catalyst for me losing weight, and I think Rob knows this story, is that I went to my wife's uncle's funeral, who was quite close to my wife, and he was a lovely guy. And he was quite inspirational. And we went to his funeral, and we went at the last minute because it was all done relatively quickly. And I drove up to Glasgow, we're all a bit stressed, and I forgot my black suit. And I was living down in Manchester, and I went, that's okay, don't worry about it, I'll buy a new black suit. And having spent almost an entire day at one of the largest shopping centres in Glasgow, unable to find a suit to fit me, I found myself standing in the shopping centre having what I can only describe as a mini meltdown. It was everybody's fault except mine. You know, it was society's fault. If I was a woman, they would have special shops that did up to like a size 42, because that's just how it works. And when you're a man and you have a little bit extra weight, that was the phrase I was using, a little bit extra weight, 22 stone, 54 inch chest, a little bit extra weight. Then, you know, the whole world was against me. I finally had to go to Slater's in Glasgow, which is the world's biggest suit shop, right? The world's Guinness World Record for the world's biggest suit shop. It had three suits that fitted me in the entire store, and the cheapest one was £450. So that gives you an idea of, you know, of where I was size wise. And even that, to be honest with me, was probably a little bit tight on me. So I, at that point, kind of, you know, went through the whole, you know, the cycle of grief.
Yeah.
So I went through denial that it was everybody else's fault, then acceptance that it was my fault. You know, then anger that I'd got myself to that condition, and an acceptance that I needed to change something.
Mm.
And I don't know if you guys have spoken to or know Gordon. I know Rob knows Gordon through.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good lad.
Yeah, he's a top man who runs a group called Fittest Fork. And he'd been trying to get hold of me for about 3 months. I'd met him probably 6 months earlier at a Now What event. And he'd been trying to get hold of me for about 3 months because I was completely his target market. And he was a top guy, and we'd been chatting away and just being friends, and he'd been saying, like, we need to have a chat about this, we need to have a chat about it. And I'd been doing the whole, you know, like the thing you do where you go, I'm just going through a tunnel. anything to avoid talking about it. And I kind of phoned him up and went, listen, man, we need to fix this. You need to help me. And Fittest Fork became the vehicle. So the catalyst was the problem getting a suit. The vehicle was Fittest Fork and the way that Gordon's group runs. And the goal was initially to lose enough weight to be an XL. So I was a 3XL going into a 4XL. And I decided that if I could be an extra large, then I could wear normal quotation marks clothes. I could walk into a shop and I could have the choice of clothes that I wanted rather than having to choose from the clothes that fitted me. Over about 18 months, I've gone down to, I'm now a large. And when I go back to my fighting weight after lockdown or when my foot recovers slightly, I'm probably planning to get down to about a medium. So it's not been about weight for me or anything. It's more about clothes and about size. So that was my weight loss journey. And I'm going to take a breath now.
that was, you know, that's, wow. that's incredible achievement to have. And
really?
You know, how do you feel now having achieved that? Because it can't have been necessarily easy to have achieved, and I'm sure there must have been stumbling blocks along the way that you've had.
So there's two words that people use. Now, if you're Scottish, those two words generally are how and why. So people say how instead of why. the other one that people do that with is simple and easy. Right. So sometimes when people mean easy, they say simple. Sometimes when they mean simple, they mean easy. So a good example of that is a marathon is really simple, right? You put on a pair of trainers and you run 26.2 miles. That's simple. It's not easy. Right. And I think losing the weight was simple. You know, I just made some changes to what I ate, cut out a load of snacks, cut out about 3 liters a day of Iron Brew that I was drinking.
Wow.
But it wasn't easy, you know. I wouldn't say I struggled with it, but you know, it takes some willpower. You know, you've got to go, I'm not going to have that chocolate bar, or you know, I'm going to cut out something like Iron Brew. Like I had a friend of mine, it's a doctor, saying, please don't stop drinking Iron Brew Cold Turkey. It's like a drug. You'll die. I was drinking that much. You know, I mean, you think about it, it's something like. Was that a can of Iron Brew has, I think it was something like the equivalent of 4 times my daily intake of sugar just in Iron Brew. Before I ate anything, had any chocolate, which I quite liked as well. So You know, I did eat quite badly. I didn't move particularly well at a lot. And I think the biggest changes that I noticed is that I actually quite enjoy going to the gym. Obviously, I can't at the moment. I don't enjoy it enough to work out at home at the moment, but I enjoy the act of going to the gym. And I think the biggest change that I've noticed is my self-confidence, 100%. You know, if you want to know how badly the world treats people that are overweight or obese, lose 8 stone. You'll learn really quickly how differently the world treats you. It genuinely is. It's a different world.
There is, without doubt, a prejudice and a stigma attached to it, which affects your self-image, your confidence. Yeah. And I guess, would you say that also the choices you make? I mean, so where you might say, oh, I'd go and do this, but I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like I can.
Absolutely, you know, 100%, you know, but here's the thing. Here's the really, really important thing. I am not for one moment giving it the whole, oh, you know, it's society's fault that I was overweight. No. I was pushed into it. Do you know what? I just really liked eating chocolate and drinking fizzy pop. That was what happened. I ate too much and I didn't move enough. And I put on a shed load of weight and right. I just couldn't be bothered changing it. You know, and that was all on me and all about me. It wasn't, you know, I'm not going to blame society. I'm not blaming the way people looked at me, the way people dealt with me, blah, blah, blah. What it did do was it gave me a set of skills that I wouldn't probably have had if I wasn't the guy that I was. So a really good example of that is that Rob knows me, and I don't know you, Greg. I've never actually met you face to face before, but I spent my entire adult life being bravado from top to bottom. You know, I was the guy that you would put in the living room at a party if it was, like, you know, a bit quiet. You know, I still am that guy. You know, I'm louder than I probably should be. I talk considerably more than I should be. I consider that, you know, I know how to crack the odd joke every now and again. And I think those are skills that were built up as a survival instinct of having been a kid in Glasgow with big ears that was overweight. You know, those are things that you've got two options. You either learn an awful lot of martial arts very young, or you learn how to make people laugh and, you know, and you get on with people. And I think those are skills that I still have. And that's one of the jokes that I kind of make, which is all that stuff that I learned, all that extra that I had to put in for people to take me seriously, that's still there. But I don't have to work as hard to be taken seriously, because I don't have the deficit that you know, being overweight caused.
That's a fascinating subject, and Rob knows that I talk a lot as well, and I'm always joking around and things like that. And it's a very similar parallel thing. Is that I grew up in like a working class estate, and you know, my brother was considered to be intelligent, and I was the twin who was like the creative one. So I felt like I had to make people laugh to be accepted. To get friends and to do that kind of thing. And as you said, I literally just written a blog post about it. And it's one of the greatest skills you can have, isn't it? Because if you can communicate with people, and even though it's through fear initially, it is a useful thing to have, because you can go to a party, you can be that person, and you can build rapport easily. And if you can build rapport, all life and business is based around that. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
So the kind of line that I use around that is, about 20 years ago, I got into an argument with someone in a pub, not a fight, just, you know, like a verbal disagreement. And as part of that argument in a pub, and I'm going to use not a proper swear word, but, you know, I'm going to say, and I said to him, I think he called me fat, and he said something about my weight. And I went, listen, mate, I can lose weight. You'll always be a dickhead.
And love it.
You know, 20 years later, do you know what? I've lost 8 and a bit stone, and I bet he's still a dickhead. So, right. You know, that's the whole point. The whole point is that it's a thing about me that I could have fixed and probably should have fixed and made choices not to, but now have. And I think now that I have made those better choices, now that I have lost the weight, I do feel a massive increase in my self-confidence that I wouldn't have expected. I would have thought that, you know, I think... I spent a lot of time faking it to make it, whereas now I can kind of be like, you know, I can walk in a room and just go, yeah, I'm killing it, that's fine.
The other thing I'm
and
curious
I'm by no means, to... by the way, I'm by no yeah. means skinny. This is an important point to make here, right? I weigh 14 stone. I'm not like a waif. I'm still a big guy. I'm still overweight. I'm just not as overweight, if that makes sense.
Not dangerously so.
But it's definitely yeah. like when you look at the picture though, because I've seen the transformation picture. Well, I'll have to maybe find a way to include this. But you can see a real massive difference. Like you're still in good shape. I'm not saying like that you're really skinny, but you, compared to how you were previously, like there is a massive noticeable difference. And I think
I've literally lost a person's weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I've noticed about you as well is like your confidence now compared to when I first met you is so much greater. And even like I've noticed like as well like your style as well, now that you've kind of made a real effort now in terms of like putting yourself out there with your style and helping other people to improve their style, because you've given me advice before as well.
Yeah, we won't talk about that though, right? that's a whole podcast on its own, Rob.
That's where Rob got his style from.
I want the good bits. So I'm going to call him a work in progress. How does that sound fair, Rob?
Yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right. I think it comes back to that whole, the saying you can't polish a turd. When you think you're the turd, then what's the point? So, when in your head you look terrible and everything, then what's the point in actually trying?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. And it's inside my head. There was nobody telling me that. There was nobody saying that to me. It was just a thing that I was thinking, and that picture, I've put a few of them up because, I think the latest time I put it up was somebody posted about Adele losing a load of weight. And I think the way she's done it's not particularly healthy or sustainable, I think, in her specific case. But somebody had posted on LinkedIn or something about how it wasn't possible to lose a load of weight and it'd be sustainable. And I put that picture up. It's like a four picture. It's like, like the old passport pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
It's me at 22 stone. Then I think it's me at about 18, me at about 16 something, and me a couple of weeks ago. And it's like, yeah, it can be done and it is sustainable. It just takes some effort. And, and if you want, it's like everything else. It's like a get rich quick scheme. If you want to get rich quick, you're probably going to end up getting poor quick. If you want to get thin quick, you're probably going to end up getting thin quick, but then just getting fat again because you've not put any of the effort in. You've not got the sweat equity in what you've done. You've not earned what you've got. And if you've not earned what you've got, then you're not going to work as hard to keep hold of it. I don't think some people may argue with that, but that's my
opinion. I would agree.
Totally
yeah, I
think agree certainly with you. Yeah,
business totally experience agree. As well. It's like if you haven't failed a couple of times in business, which I have in the past, you haven't got the experience to know these different things. You might have an MBA or something, but I think when you've actually done it and you've dealt with different situations, and you've, as you said, you put the sweat equity in, you've worked your ass off to get where you are to reach that goal. It is interesting because we've all come from different backgrounds, but there's certainly something which relates to the way we grow up and what we've become and how we see ourselves. And certainly that's your story. And I can certainly relate to that. And I'm sure a lot of other people can who are listening, no matter what their background is or what their situation is, we all get those challenges, don't we, to overcome. Yeah.
I think it's one of those scenarios that I think the current kind of COVID thing is showing this. Plans literally aren't worth the paper they're written on, And I think what you've got to do is you've got to look at the stuff that's put in front of you, and then you've got to deal with the thing that's put in front of you. So until I was standing in the Fort Shopping Centre in Glasgow having my little mini meltdown, the issue of my weight wasn't in front of me. I hadn't had to, I wasn't particularly unwell. I've not been to the doctor in about 12 years for anything. I've got the constitution of a horse. I'm going to touch wood about 40 times because of the time where we are at the moment. I hadn't been ill. I didn't consider myself to be particularly unfit. I really was, but at the time I didn't consider myself to be. And until something put it right in front of my sights, then it wasn't something that, you know, I had to deal with. And I think that's the whole point. And it's whether it's a business thing or a life thing or a relationship or whatever it is, the best thing that I think that, that I can do for me is don't worry about the possibilities and the probabilities. Look at the stuff that's sitting in front of me and deal with that. Because if you deal with the stuff that's in front of you, then you're always moving forward. You know, you're always pushing through that thing. And, you know, Rob knows a guy called Cross Crossley very well. And Cross has this thing, you know, which is, you know, ask yourself two questions and, you know, can I do anything about it? Have I done everything I can? If that's the case, then don't worry about it until it rears its head again.
Dealing real.
Dealing the real. That was the phrase I was looking for. Dealing real, you know, if it's in front of you and it's an issue, then fix it. If it's not, then why waste your energy worrying about it when you can be doing something else?
Yeah. And that's a great, powerful thing, because actually a lot of us, even me, you get used to the habit. And we're really talking about habits here in many ways, aren't we? We get used to eating a bar of chocolate every night, me and the missus. And, you know, Rob always says to us, you ought to do this, that and the other. And we know it's right. We know it is. But we've also got Netflix and pizza and things like that.
So here's a really good thing. You can't actually break a habit, right? So people go, I want to break that habit. Well, you can't break a habit. A habit's a habit. What you can do is you can overwrite it. So think about it like, you know, an update on an iPhone, right? So you know how when you have an app on your iPhone and then when they do the update, the little clock goes round and then the new version is on top of the old version. So that's what habits are. A habit is an app on an iPhone, you know? So what you've got to do is you've got to do something new which is powerful enough to get rid of the old thing and then overwrite that old thing with a new thing. So for me, it was instead of chocolate, it became coffee, you know, or instead of iron brew, certainly it became coffee, you know.
Would you say that's like addiction as well? Like, you know, I feel I'm addicted to music. And Rob will know that.
There's worse things, unless it's like stealing it from HMV.
I haven't gone that far.
Are they even still around? Because they were having troubles, weren't they?
They're hanging in there.
Yeah, there's probably about three of them left. There's one in Carlisle, actually. Yeah, there is one in Carlisle. There's not
the guy that bought, the guy that owns them, he started a whole new type of business just as this Corona thing hit. So I think, obviously, everybody's had to put everything on hold, but whether that will be reignited afterwards, I don't know. But yeah, of course, we're talking about habits and also sometimes addictions and things. And if we allow, also, as you said, with Cross, with dealing real, if we allow worry to consume us, it affects the body as well, you know, and it affects how we can function. And we double the sort of, if something's wrong, we double it, don't we, by worrying about it as well.
Well, I'm a worrier. So I my father-in-law used to call me Mr. Roundabout, because I used to just spend my life walking around in circles, worrying about stuff. And that's something that I've had to make a real effort to change about myself. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I don't. What I'm really lucky about is, and Rob knows my wife, Carla, we work very closely as a team. We run our businesses together. You know, we've been through our troubles. You know, she's got health condition and it causes her a lot of pain and lots of problems. You know, we very much are a team, and part of that teamwork is that there are some times when I'm going to be worried about something or upset about something or a bit like, you know, like what are we going to do? And her job at that point is to kind of be the person that kind of goes, okay, don't worry about it, we'll sort it, we'll get through it, and vice versa. You know, we haven't been in a scenario or place yet where we've both been at that point at the same time. You know, we've always been a different place on that worry curve, where we can kind of say to the other one, it's okay, we'll get through it, don't worry, we'll sort it, it'll be okay. You know, and I think that's an important thing, is having a team around you. You know, people who can talk you down or talk you up, or who can kind of, you know, be there, whether it's family or whether it's friends or whether it's something like Now Walk Club, whether it's just people that you know through whatever way you know them, whether LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, just people whose opinions you trust, and who don't have some sort of ulterior motive, you know, don't have something.
That's the support system.
Absolutely. Well, no, I'd say closer than that. I'd say, you know, I think Rob gets this from now on, which is, you know, that it's like a team. It's like it's closer than a support system because it's people who you know they've got your back, you know, and
that's great.
If there's, you know, and I think Carla very much has that for me, and also a very close group of friends as well. Who I know that I can kind of, you know, they are generally the people that get sneak peeks of stuff. You know, they're the people that get the email going, what do you think of this?
Yeah, you sent me that a few times recently.
Yeah. Just for an opinion, you know, just to kind of get an honest opinion. And I may listen and I may not, but at least I know.
I do that too. I do that with people when I'm working on something new. I have a few people. I'm like, can you just take a look at this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got friends who... Certainly, well, one of them is an inventor that springs to mind, and he's always got ideas about making stuff, taking it to market and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say to me, or close people sometimes say, oh, do you charge your friends and everything else? I say, no, because they're my friends, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just me. I mean, like, he helps me, I help him. And you know, there's certainly ways you can do that in business and in life where...
Can I ask, has his house got, like, automated everything? Does it have, like, doors that open themselves and all that? And, like, is it, like... I imagine it's like Doc Brown's house out of Back to the Future.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been to his house lately because he's got a new house down in Devon, and I'm really keen to get down there, but as long as he ain't got any traps set for me or anything, just to test out, you know, his new gadgets. But he's one of those guys, you know, he goes out in his garage with his whiteboard, and he's got a very engineering type of mind, yeah, but also creative.
I'm rubbish at making stuff.
I am. I'm terrible.
Yeah, it's not. But the thing is, I'm a graphic designer, so I tend to be the person that everybody's got in their, you know, the little black book for. I've created this new logo, or I'm thinking about this brand name, or whatever. What do you think? Nice. And I think, you know, I got all the Facebook messages from people going, "What do you think of that color?" You know, and stuff.
That's
like
cool.
That. And but that's important because it's not about that, you know, at that point they're not a customer or whatever. They're just a person who I know who, you know, just kind of going, well, maybe go with a darker blue, or I wouldn't use that later or whatever. Those are little things that it's nothing to me. It's 35 seconds of my time, you know.
Yeah.
But it's important because it saves someone going down a rabbit hole that might take them 3 months to get themselves out of.
That's it. And they might find that they work with somebody without talking to you, who charges them a certain amount of money or whatever, and they don't get necessarily what they want because they've just gone in and said, can you do that for me? But if you can ask someone who's an expert in an area, it's like having a mastermind in a way, isn't it? And the people you know, as we said earlier about, you can trust and you can rely on to help you. Now, Scotland is a lovely place, and I know it changes a lot depending on where you go. I haven't been to Glasgow yet, but I go up to the Cairngorms and Aviemore nearly every year and up on the Black Isle. What's it like as a place? Do you ever go back?
We go back all the time. We moved down to Manchester for business about 12 years ago or something, I think it was, or 11 years ago, and set up a company in England. And if you live in Scotland and you run a company in England, you can't do that. So we'd have to close our English company and set up a Scottish company, and it's caused all sorts of problems. And we just kind of thought, you know what, we'll move up to Carlisle. It's as close as we can get to Scotland. We're like literally the next nearest town from Carlisle is Gretna, which is in Scotland.
But we
don't have to worry about that. And my dad lives in southwest Scotland, and my in-laws live in southwest Scotland. So we're about half an hour away from them, just over the border. So I love Glasgow. Glasgow is one of the best cities in the world. If you've never been to Glasgow, think about it as Liverpool with different accents. That's kind of how I would sum up Glasgow. You know, they're pretty much the same people, but with a different accent. You know, they've got that, or kind of similar to Mancunians as well in a way. You know, it's that whole very urban city, you know, very kind of, you know, set in their ways, older generations, shipyard history, you know, big kind of, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but also, as with those cities, now very cosmopolitan, you know, I was in Glasgow probably for the first time in about 3.5 years, just before all this kicked off, at the beginning of the year, kind of into end of January, into February. And I didn't hardly recognise the city centre. It was all designer shops and, you know, all new storefronts, everything. It was great. It was fantastic. You know, to see the city growing and blossoming and you know, continuing to to grow and evolve and develop and become, you know, become the next kind of the next evolution of itself. But I absolutely love Glasgow. But you know what? I absolutely love Carlisle. We've been here just under a year, and it's fantastic. I wish I'd discovered it sooner. It's, you know, it's just outside the Lake District. It's near the seaside. It's just off the M6. It is literally an hour and a half away from everywhere. It's an hour and a half away from Manchester. It's an hour and a half away from Glasgow. It's an hour and a half away from Edinburgh. And it's an hour from Newcastle. You know, it's like, it's a fantastic place. I absolutely love it here. You know, I genuinely, I feel it. I feel probably the most at home I have felt for a very, very, very long time here.
That's important. That's good move.
Fantastic move.
I feel like we're coming to a good point to kind of bring it towards a close. But before we do, is there any final tips or suggestions you have for anyone that might be in a position to where you were before you kind of started your journey and lost all of that weight?
So I think the advice that I would probably give to people is you need to do stuff for you. Right, you need to be in a place where you're ready to make changes, but equally, you need to kind of have a long, hard look at yourself. You know, there's the person, the people who we lie to the most are ourselves. You know, we spend most of our lives lying to ourselves. You know, and I think that was the thing. I spent an awful lot of my time going, "Yeah, I'm fine," or "Yeah, I'm not bothered," or "Yeah, I don't care," when actually I really did care. You know, and I think the fact that the changes and the differences that I've made in my life since then, you know, so that friends, a good example is that I run a business, and I'm not doing it for a plug, but it's kind of important around men's styling, you know, and I run that business because as I went through that journey, I discovered that I actually cared about how I looked for the first time in probably 30 years, and there wasn't a lot of support, a lot of advice, or a lot of help there for me. So I thought, well, we'll create something that helps. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. But I think the thing to say is that people, you need to make changes for you, otherwise they won't stick. But you need to be really honest with yourself about what you need to change.
Fantastic advice.
Thank you so much for that. And you're on the subject of, I don't want to plug, but plug away. Like, talk about the new business that you've just launched.
We've just launched the Monthly Coffee Club. So I, over the last few years, with Carla's health being the way it has been, and certainly even compounded now with what's going on in the world, I very much believe that life is way, way too short to do something that you don't have a passion for or don't actually want to do. The whole concept of being stuck in a cubicle doing a job that I really, really hate because I feel like I'm stuck doing it just is never going to work for me ever again. 100%. So I have a couple of passions, real passions in my life. The first one is design. I'm a designer and I run a branding business called Get It Branded with my wife. I've discovered a real passion for looking smart and for menswear. As I've lost weight and as I've kind of cared a bit more about my appearance, I've decided that, you know, I like dressing up. I like wearing a suit and I like wearing a suit and tie. And I discovered that, you know, they're quite hard to find these days, really nice ties. So I started a business called the Monthly Tie Club, which basically is a subscription club that delivers, you know, hand-picked silk ties to subscribers. And then another passion of mine has become really good coffee. Right, there's a lot of coffee, there's not so much good coffee. You know, and through my kind of my mission to discover good coffee that I enjoy drinking, I discovered some amazing coffee roasters and some great coffee blends. And when I was kind of sitting down one day, I was thinking, you know, there's a real opportunity here for me to share these. And I love the concept of I love being a member of a club. I love it. I absolutely love being I'm a member of a gym. I'm a member of about four different subscription clubs. So when we set up the Monthly Tie Club and people loved being a member of the Monthly Tie Club, I thought, well, what's the best way to kind of, you know, introduce my passion for coffee to people, and it was to set up the Monthly Coffee Club, which is the monthlycoffeeclub.co.uk. There you go, there's my plug.
Okay.
And basically it's you know, it's top quality, small batch roasted fresh coffee delivered to your door every month or every week or every fortnight or whatever.
Wow, wow. That's some interesting businesses you got there. I'm going to have to sort of delve in and look at this stuff.
Well, we'll be sure to put all the links to that, especially the new one. So do go check out his new one, especially with our spin about coffee talk. So make sure to go listen to that. Thank you ever so much, James, for coming on. And we've really enjoyed it. So make sure, guys, to subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating if you've enjoyed it. And we'll be back soon with another episode.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.